the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network presents Vatican Insider with Joan Lewis. Each week, Joan brings you news from inside the Vatican and the Church around the world, as well as interviews and answers to your questions. Now, here's the host of Vatican Insider, Joan Lewis.
Welcome to Vatican Insider on a fascinating weekend. In fact, there'll be a lot of news headlines featuring Italy this Sunday, February 22nd. And the big story for many is the end of the 2026 Winter Olympics in Milan and Cortina d'Ampezzo. Now moving a bit south, we come to Assisi for the start Sunday of the month-long display of the relics of St. Francis for veneration in the Basilica of St. Francis. And yet, moving a bit further south, we come to Vatican City, where Pope Leo and members of the Roman Curia will start their annual week-long Lenten spiritual retreat. Also Sunday is the Feast of the Chair of Peter, a day that has been celebrated since 336 to commemorate the mission Christ entrusted to St. Peter to lead the Church and to mark the unbroken line of successors of St. Peter. The chair, or the cathedra, symbolizes the seat of authority of the Bishop of Rome. And from this, by the way, we get the word cathedral. The statue of Peter in the main aisle of St. Peter's is adorned with liturgical vestments on this day, and he wears a papal ring and a triple tiara. Now, I'll get to the news in a minute, but first, as usual, let me tell you about my guests in the interview segment. This week is part two of my conversation with two amazing men, Craig Joring and Danny Ledger, who are truly doing the Lord's work of caring for the least of our brethren. This is through Hope of the Poor, an amazing organization they co-founded in Nebraska, with headquarters in Mexico City and Omaha. Their motto is alleviating the poverty of being unloved. And you will hear them tell absolutely riveting tales of the poorest of the poor, whom they try to help in many ways, especially by giving them a sense of their worth and dignity. A beautiful, inspiring story you will not want to miss. Now, the top news stories in the Vatican this past week. Sunday, February the 15th, scheduled to visit five parishes in the Diocese of Rome on Sundays during Lent, Pope Leo visited the first of those parishes last Sunday, technically 3 days, of course, before the start of Lent. He went to Santa Maria Regina Pacis, Holy Mary Queen of Peace, in Ostia Lido, about 18 miles southwest of Rome's city center. Leo arrived just before 4 p.m., met with 400 catechism students and young people, then joined another 400 parishioners, mainly the elderly, sick, and poor, as well as Caritas volunteers, before presiding at Mass in the church. Afterwards, he met with the parish council, and before returning to the Vatican, he stopped to greet the faithful who had remained outside to follow the Mass on the large screen set up for the occasion. "You know, I believe," Leo began his homily, "that this is my first visit to a parish in my new diocese. I'm very happy to begin here in Ostia, especially in a parish named Mary Queen of Peace, so important in these times we live in. The parish priest told me to offer a word of hope." Well, you are the hope. You must recognize that in your hearts, in your lives, in your youth, there is hope for today and tomorrow. Hope begins here because Jesus walks with us. His mother, Mary Queen of Peace, always walks with us. Noting that the neighborhood is known for violence and crime, Pope Leo encouraged everyone to look upward in hope, but also downward, into the fabric of society, to foster pastoral and educational action that promotes respect, harmony, perseverance, and the disarming power of meekness against a culture of abuse and injustice. Monday, February the 16th. Pope Leo XIV addressed to participants in the plenary assembly of the Pontifical Academy for Life, and he highlighted how, quote, "in a world scarred by conflicts, which consume enormous economic, technological, and organizational resources in the production of arms and other types of military equipment, it has never been more important to dedicate time, people, and expertise to safeguarding life and health." Today, wars even impact civilian structures, including hospitals. The most grave attack that human hands can make against life and public health. The theme of the plenary assembly was health care for all, sustainability, and equity. Leo noted, it is often said that life and health are equally fundamental values for all, but this statement is hypocritical if at the same time we ignore the structural causes and policies that determine inequalities. Also Monday, in an audience with Italian prefects, Pope Leo XIV invited civil servants to uphold the good of the nation so that all people may benefit from the rule of law and equal access to government services. By guarding Italy's social harmony, he said, prefects promote social order so that the poor find welcome, the elderly have greater peace of mind, and families, the young and the sick, receive essential services. Public order requires both the fight against crime and efforts to suppress forms of violence, falsehood, and vulgarity that often cause strife. Recalling the ancient connection between prefects and bishops in the Roman Empire, when both would watch over different aspects of citizens' lives, Leo pointed to St. Ambrose of Milan, who served as prefect of the city when it was the capital of the Roman Empire, and he was then acclaimed as its bishop by the local people. Monday afternoon, the Holy Father traveled to Castel Gandolfo, and he spent the night and Tuesday returning to Rome Tuesday evening. Ash Wednesday, February the 18th. Before the general audience, the Pope met with members of the Pro Petri Sede Association, which works to support the successor of Peter. He affirmed that the successor of Peter must have the freedom to speak truth, denounce injustice, and defend the weakest. Later during the weekly general audience, Leo XIV continued his study of documents of Vatican Council II, this week reflecting on the dogmatic constitution, Lumen Gentium. He said Lumen Gentium presents the Church as both a sign and an instrument of God's plan of salvation. A sign because the church community makes the unity established by Christ through his cross and resurrection visible to the world today. It's an instrument because it is through the church that God achieves his goal of uniting people to himself and bringing them together. As we journey through a world still marked by division, said Leo, let us ask the Lord to continue to guide his church in the mission of sanctification and reconciliation. Also Wednesday, Pope Leo led the traditional Ash Wednesday penitential procession of prelates of the Roman Curia and many faithful from the Benedictine Basilica of Sant'Anselmo to the Dominican Basilica of Santa Sabina, where Mass was celebrated and ashes were distributed. Pope Leo reflected on repentance, community, and death in his homily, saying that the ashes the faithful were about to receive remind us of, quote, the weight of a world that is ablaze, of entire cities destroyed by war. Lent, stressed Leo, means daring to be free of all this through repentance and change. Lent is a powerful time for community as Lent gathers people together as a community of witnesses that recognizes their sins. Thursday, February the 19th. Meeting with the General Chapter of the Legionaries of Christ, Pope Leo XIV told his guests that the rule of authority in religious life is to focus the community on Christ, not as a means to dominate members, but as a spiritual and fraternal service to those who share the same vocation. This must be expressed in the art of accompaniment. Noting that the legionaries have received a charism within the Church, despite historical expressions and scandals that have led to pain and crises, Leo said, a charism is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Remember then that you are not owners of the charism, but its custodians and servants. You are called to give your life so that this gift may continue to be fruitful in the Church and in the world. Also Thursday, Pope Leo XIV received the priest of the Diocese of Rome, and he exhorted them to rekindle the fire first lit by God when he gave them the gift of collaborating in his work. Leo expressed his great joy at meeting with them, and he joked that although Lent has just begun, the audience is, quote, not an act of penance. The Pope invited them to rekindle their gift of the faith, proclaim the gospel, be close to families and young people, and to support one another in priestly fraternity, especially young priests who may feel overwhelmed. Often pressed by rapid cultural changes and the scenarios in which our mission unfolds, sometimes beset by fatigue and the weight of routine, or discouraged by the growing indifference towards faith and religious practice, the Pope acknowledged, we feel the need for this fire to be nourished and rekindled. Friday, February the 20th, Pope Leo's agenda included only a number of individual audiences. Well, those are the top stories of the week, but now stay here to learn more about the amazing organization Help of the Poor. And by the way, you also learn how you can help the poor. Welcome to the Q&A. It's been a while since I've done one of these, but today I want to talk about the word scapular. Well, the word itself comes from the Latin word scapula, and that means shoulder, and it refers to a small piece of cloth that goes over the shoulders of the wearer, one piece hanging in front and the second piece hanging in back. A scapular is a sacramental, and there are generally two types. Monastic scapulars first appeared, it seems, in the 7th century with the Order of St. Benedict. These were a somewhat large length of cloth suspended both front and back from the shoulders of the wearer, often reaching to the knees. Monastic scapulars originated as aprons worn by medieval monks, and they were later extended to habits for members of religious organizations, orders, or confraternities. The second kind of scapular, the devotional scapular, is what most of us would wear. It's a much smaller item, but it evolved from the monastic scapular. Perhaps the most famous is the brown scapular of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. It is especially adapted from the scapular of the Carmelite Order and represents a special consecration to Our Lady under the title of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Those who wear it practice a special devotion to Mary. Pope John Paul always wore a brown scapular. When he was in the hospital after the attempt on his life in 1981, and he saw the scapular he wore had been bloodied, he immediately asked for a new one. Another well-known scapular is the green scapular, a gift given to the world by the Blessed Mother through a series of apparitions to a daughter of charity, Sister Justine de Biscuburu, in the early 1840s in Paris, France. It is considered to be a powerful aid in spiritual and physical healings of those who wear it.
Proclaiming the faith, changing lives.
The year was 1984. Mother Angelica Live is the only religious program nominated for an award for cable excellence. Later in the year, she wins a Gabriel Personal Achievement Award from Catholic Broadcasters and Communicators.
To learn more about Mother Angelica's life and the history of EWTN, visit EWTN.com/Mother Angelica.
Mother Angelica had a simple goal when she began EWTN, to reach the world with the gospel message. EWTN is the most trusted source of authentically Catholic content on the air today, featuring Mother Angelica, Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchek, and Raymond Arroyo. We've never wavered from our mandate to proclaim the truth and majesty of the Catholic faith. Thank you for joining EWTN in this mission.
As a Catholic talk show host and speaker and author, I'm often asked, how should we pray? How do we pray? Really? It's up to you, and that's between you and the Lord. We have wonderful, wonderful formalized prayers in the Catholic faith, such as a rosary, the Lord's Prayer, novenas, but you can also just open up your heart and say, Lord, help, SOS. It's as simple as that. How you pray is really up to you. Ask the Lord how you should pray, and He'll answer you.
Welcome back to Vatican Insider. Here's Joan Lewis.
Welcome back to Vatican Insider and another special story of people doing the Lord's work of caring for the least of His children. Craig Joring and Danny Ledger, co-founders of Hope of the Poor, tell us more riveting stories about their work with the poorest of the poor in Mexico and in Nebraska in the U.S., changing lives, giving hope for a new future to so many people. I start this piece by asking both Craig and Danny for their favorite stories of how lives were changed through their selfless dedication to lifting people out of poverty and helping them regain a sense of dignity and of hope. I would love each of you to tell me one of your favorite stories, your favorite interaction with somebody who ended up actually managing a business or something.
Right now I have a lady working with Hope of the Poor. She works for Hope of the Poor full-time. She spends her days reaching out to the homeless around the Basilica of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City, which is where I work. I reached out to her and her husband for 5 years and their infant son while they were homeless and drug addicted in front of the basilica. And for 5 years, I surrounded them with love and acceptance and kept believing in them, kept telling them that their lives mattered, God had a plan for them, and finally they believed it. And so 3 years ago, they moved off the street.
Wow.
And now they're off drugs, and now they spend their days helping other people who were in the same situation they were in to leave the street and to leave drugs.
Wow. Well, and now, Danny, you're not there as much of the year, you just told us, you know, as Craig is. But do you have a special story, either from Omaha or from Mexico City, that you'd like to share?
Well, I'll share one from Omaha just because Craig shared one of our favorite stories from Mexico. But just this last year, right before Christmas, we had to take a family off the street in Omaha. And they were on the list for maybe getting housing through some of the government programs, but they weren't going to get it in time because the situation that they were in is they had a baby born prematurely.
Oh.
They were living in their van, and they didn't want to be in the shelter because they couldn't stay together, and they had no other housing options because of just different terrible circumstances that had happened to them. And so they were in this situation where they have this baby, it's in the NICU, and they cannot get their baby, to take their baby home from the hospital when it would be ready to come home unless they had an apartment.
Of course.
And so Hope of the Poor raised the money, rented them an apartment, and got them in just right before Christmas, got them into their own place, got it furnished for them, and then it was a month later, they got to bring home their little baby to their own apartment. And then in the meantime, we're working with this couple to help them get other resources,
sure,
help the husband find a job, and working with us and with other organizations. And it's been a struggle, but it's been,
sure,
beautiful to just see, like, they had no hope, and now they do.
I just wish for a moment that this was television instead of radio so that my listeners could actually see your faces and the joy, the obvious joy, as you tell these stories. Now, you just mentioned, Danny, an important word, and that is resources. And when we say resources, most of the time we mean finances. So how does Hope of the Poor finance itself? And then include the website in that because we want people to go to that. You know, Craig?
Our website is hopeofthepoor.org. Every time we receive a donation, we expand our ministry. And so...
Is it on the site, how to donate?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right. And I also know the website says you host mission trips. Now, tell us about that and who the missionaries are.
In Mexico City, this year I will host 24 missions of adults who come down and spend 5 days with me serving the poor, and also college students. So,
and how do they sign? How do they know about this to even sign up?
The best way is to contact me, and then I've worked to find a date for them and their church or their group. to come down?
Well, when I post this information and people listen to the show, let me know if there's a surge in volunteers and missionaries. And sometimes bishops and priests go with you, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, tell us about your bishop who's accompanying you to Rome. And we're going to talk about your Rome visit in a minute.
Bishop Ed from Albany is here with us. We planned our trip to coincide with a trip he wanted to make, and so we planned the same dates to be here. Bishop Ed has been with us three times in Mexico City.
Schaffenberger.
Exactly. Yes. And he comes and serves the poor as in the most humble way and just loves on the poor and just is in on mission with us for 5 days at a time.
Now, this, I hope I say this correctly, but are people ever, when they find out that who's coming with a mission group or, you know, one of your friends slash assistants, when they find out that person is a priest or, for heaven's sake, a bishop, does that make an impact on them? Or is it just someone else who loves them?
I think it's someone else who loves them. That's people just want to know that one person loves me yeah. and cares for me. For me, I had a situation 2 years ago where a whole community was just shocked. I was working with a community of 22 people that make their living in prostitution, and they were homeless. And I'd taken a priest to visit them, and it happened to be Ash Wednesday, and the priest brought the ashes to the people, and the people were shocked. Because no priest had ever been out to to them. And they surrounded the priest after he gave them the ashes, and they asked two questions. They said, "Do you care for us?" And the priest said, "Yes, I care for you.
That's why I'm here."
And the second question is, "Does the church care for us?"
Wow.
And the priest said, "The church cares for you." And then their response as a community was, in that case, we all want to enter the church. And none were in the church. None had been baptized.
Wow.
None, almost none. And very few had received any other yeah. sacraments.
Another great, great story. Well, you said church. Here we are in the heart. We at the Vatican, just a few meters away from where we are recording. Update us on why you're in Rome and what you hope to be doing in this part of the world.
We dream of bringing expanding Hope of the Poor into the pilgrimage site of Rome to work with the same homeless people that you mentioned earlier, Joan, who are around the Vatican, who are sleeping in the rain every night. And we want to bring a Hope of the Poor mission here and start bringing missions here to Rome to serve the poorest of the poor around the Vatican and around St. Peter's.
So, Danny, you've been meeting with various officials and people in the Vatican to talk about this project, and has the reception, it has to have been positive.
It's been amazing. It's been so beautiful to see how many amazing ministries there are here doing great work with the poor, which is great for Hope of the Poor because we can form partnerships with these great organizations.
Sure.
And then because especially for us, we want to evangelize not only the poor that we're serving, but the mission guests that are coming with us to Mexico or to Rome so they can have this encounter with Christ and the poor. And then everyone that comes with us on mission will expand that ministry. Whatever it is, the different nonprofits or the different parish ministries that are serving the poor, we're going to, for the time that we're here, we'll expand that mission, but also our mission guests will get to encounter Christ in the poor, but also in the beauty of this amazing city and pilgrimage site.
Well, I see a domino effect here. I really do, and I'm sure that both of you know by now that one of the missions, apostolates actually, that the seminarians at the North American College has is helping the poor. EWTN helped work on a film last year about with like three or four of these men and Father Hulsdorf as they go out to help the poor and be with them and just make them, hey, we're friends, you know. And you sit down, you have a cup of coffee, you give a cup of coffee to your new friend, you have one yourself or a sandwich, and you just talk about life and answer their questions, and that is making people know that you care, that someone cares. And if they only acquire a shred of that feeling of dignity at the time, it's better than none. So working on that dignity is so important. So I don't know if either of you have a final word. We've pretty much exhausted our time, but, you know, Craig, maybe just kind of a final word to our listeners to make them aware, not only just of Hope of the Poor, but of the poor where they are.
I would say that that the poor matter, and the poor are a gift to us. As a Christian, I believe that it's not an option to serve the poor. I think that we all should be serving the poor. We wear a bracelet that says Matthew 25:40 on it, and we want to live by those words where Jesus said, whatever you do to the least of these brothers among you, right, do to me.
Right.
And that's how I want to live my life, and that's why I want to, the way I want to challenge everyone in my life to live their lives.
Well, it's like the apostles when they asked Jesus, and they said, well, wait a minute, when did we clothe you? When did we come and visit you? When did we, and he, you know, basically, when you do it to the one of the least of these, you have done it to me. So I think with that, I want to thank Craig Joring, and I want to thank Danny Ledger for their visit today. I cherish the friendship with these two men. I cherish the idea of what they do, and hope that my listeners can pick up on some of this, and maybe their words might make a little difference in your life. So on that, a heartfelt embrace for your time and your friendship to Craig and to Danny. Thank you, Craig.
Thank you, Joan.
And Danny.
Thank you so much for having us.
Well, God bless you both. And have a great continuation of your time in Rome. And give the bishop our best, okay?
For more information on these stories, or to check out Joan's blog and to ask her a question, go to EWTN.com. That's EWTN.com. Thanks for listening to Vatican Insider on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.